his duty, and in performing his duty, he has given everything which he had in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he has performed his duties, and later Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to change the results and to change the defeated battle into the victory. And today we know that everyone is taking the name of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, and everyone curse Yazid and the character of the Yazid. Therefore, we must look at the duties that we have. We must pay attention towards the performance of those duties, and we should avoid thinking about the defeat or victory, because if we pay attention towards the duties and if we are performing them perfectly, then obviously it is in the hands of Allah. We need to make Allah happy, not the people. If Allah is happy by my performance, then obviously I have achieved what I was aimed to do, inshallah. Thanks for listening. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
In the limelight.
The United States policies have hurt itself and other Western economies. According to reports, the U.S. GDP contracted by 0.6% in the second quarter, raising concerns that the country may be heading into a recession and compounding the Biden administration's political challenges as it grapples with decades-high inflation. In this regard, we have taken a look at the world media websites for further details. Stay tuned, please. Global Times wrote, repercussions of the U.S. Federal Reserve's aggressive interest rate hike cycle have emerged across the global economy and in the U.S. as the U.S. economy falls into technical recession after two straight months of negative growth. Final GDP data showed recently. The U.S. GDP contracted by 0.6% in the second quarter, according to updated data. This followed a 1.6% contraction in the first quarter, indicating that the U.S. economy had fallen into technical recession, often measured by two straight quarters of declining economic output. The U.S. economic contraction comes at a time when the U.S. Federal Reserve is in the middle of its most aggressive cycle of tightening since 1980s. The U.S. Fed just raised rates by 0.75% on September 21st, the fifth interest rate hike this year and the third hike of that level. It is also expected to hike interest rates in the coming months to tamp down inflation. As the Fed goes all out to rein in surging prices, with no noticeable effects to date, the preliminary shock brought created by these policies on the U.S. and global economies have become increasingly pronounced, with many currencies depreciating sharply against the U.S. dollar and U.S. stocks hitting a new market low. Wang Dongyi, chairman of the Zhongtai Capital Investment Management Corporation, told the Global Times, "Frankly speaking, each round of U.S. interest rate hikes is a kind of financial harvest from around the world. But this round is much more severe because the U.S. is not only hiking rates to solely combat inflation, but to crack down upon China," saying that this would exert immeasurable damage on the global economy should it spiral out of control. The offshore yuan and onshore yuan had breached the psychological barrier of 7.2 against the U.S. dollar. So far this year, the offshore yuan has depreciated by about 13% against the greenback. In comparison, the euro weakened by about 19%. The Japanese yen slipped by 25%. The U.S. Dow Jones Industrial Average recently fell into a bear market for the first time in more than 2 years, while the S&P 500 also sank to a new low this year. Experts stressed that the U.S. interest rate hikes would lead to negative repercussions for the world as well as for its own economy. According to a report on CNBC, billionaire investor Stanley Druckenmiller said that the U.S. Fed policies will not end well for the U.S. economy, saying that he will be stunned if there is not a recession in 2023. Lu Pan, a veteran financial observer, also told the Global Times that the Fed's interest rate hikes would increase capital costs for U.S. companies, thus drag down U.S. economic development. On the other hand, the aggressive rate hikes are also prompting the world to seek a new system of governance and increase non-dollar settlement and trade, which is overall negative for the U.S. As for the impact on the world, experts said that emerging markets will take a severe hit from the U.S. irresponsible monetary policies. Leong Hemming, dean of the Belt and Road Institute at Hainan University, said that the Fed's interest rate hikes and other matters like inflation have disrupted the growth pace of emerging market economies, which might face the biggest hit to the growth in about 40 years. In particular, a number of debt-heavy economies like Pakistan and Ghana are facing risks of not being able to pay off their debts under the Fed's interest rate hike cycles because of surging borrowing costs, he said. Although the aggressive rate hikes are not beneficial to the U.S. or the global economy, the Biden administration would cling to this policy to cater to voters ahead of the U.S. midterm elections, showing that the government is doing all it can to combat inflation. However, the policies will not be as effective in combating inflation, analysts note. Wang Yingbo, an associate research fellow at the Shanghai Academy of Social Sciences, also told the Global Times that the core reason behind this wave of inflation is supply chain disruption caused by anti-globalization. And although interest rate hikes can suppress demand, it will not help improve the supply side. He said, hiking rates is not the best option to fight inflation. Also, Forbes reported the U.S. economy shrank for a second quarter in a row this year. A third and final estimate from the Bureau of Economic Analysis confirmed recently, once again signaling the start of a technical recession, even as economists predict signs of a slowdown will only grow in the coming quarters, likely prompting the official scorekeeper to declare the economy has entered a recession. Forbes added the Fed's withdrawal of pandemic stimulus measures and interest rate hikes this year have fueled concerns of impending recession. This summer, Bank of America economists warned clients that prolonged inflation and the resulting interest rate hikes have unleashed a worrying deterioration in the economy, and particularly in the once booming housing market. The Fed has become more committed to using its tools to help restore price stability with a willingness to accept at least some pain in the process, they said, predicting the economy will fall into recession over the next year.
Join us in this journey. IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really in fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. You're listening to the program Islamic Upbringing. In this program, we discuss your queries regarding the upbringing of your children. The answers are based upon the Noble Quran and the narrations of Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him and his purified progeny. Today in our studio, we have with us our guest speaker, Brother Miqdad. He's an Islamic researcher in the Hawza Ilmiya of Qom. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah.
A very warm welcome.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for accepting the invitation. Well, brother, we talked about different forms of dangers that screens bring with them. That was world view, that was the danger of role models. They are being portrayed, that are being represented to us. There was danger of desensitization. We get normal towards things that are not normal, actually. And there was a sense of wasting time, spending so much time achieving nothing. What are the other dangers these screens bring for us?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So I'd like to mention one more danger and one more point of concern. Obviously, the list is not exhaustive. We can bring other points as well, but I think five is a good number to end. This fifth one, we've talked about it before a bit as well. I want to kind of bring it separately because it's so important.
All right.
And this is a damaged self-image. So one of the things that you find occurs whilst we are consuming what's coming on the screen is that it damages the image that we have of ourselves.
Okay.
So every human being has an image of themselves, of how they see themselves and how they want to see themselves as well.
Yeah.
So you have awareness of how you look, how your physical body is.
Yeah.
And how your moral state is, etc. And you also have something you aspire towards. I wish I was like this. I wish I had...
different kind of epilepsy.
Yes,
this particular
so in
kind.
Terms of our yeah. knowledge, in terms of our akhlaq, in terms of our physical body, in terms of different things about us, we have an image of us.
Yeah.
And we have an understanding of this image and where we want to take this. This image is destroyed by the screen. How? You find that in what I'll give different examples, but the main one is to do with body image. So you find that research has suggested, for instance, that 50% of adverts use body image for product appeal.
Yeah.
And so what happens is that women are faced with an idea of a body image that doesn't match theirs.
Yeah.
So you find that there is a body image that is counted as a perfect human body, a perfect physical beauty. And this body is something that is aspired towards because it's counted as beautiful, it's counted as what is amazing out there. At the same time, you find that research suggests that there's only 1% of chance that you can be as thin as a supermodel.
Yeah.
This is very interesting. And so as a conclusion, you find that many, many young teenage girls go through depression, go through crazy, being very harsh upon themselves through different diets, whatnot. Why? Because their self-image doesn't match the image that they have of what they want to achieve, basically. They
yeah.
find themselves not matching that image that they have of the true amazing supermodel that they've seen. And this happens through adverts and through generally watching whatever comes
so
on TV.
So we can say this is basically they have a lack of self-esteem as well. That's why they are concerning on body image. We'll talk more on that after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned to IRIB English Radio.
IRIB English Radio presents A Priceless Gift to Parents. Do you have problem with your kids?
I have two boys. One is 5-year-old and the other one is 3.5. And they constantly fight and wrestle with each other and it often gets to a dangerous stage.
My 18-month-old daughter has learned to eat by herself, and she just refuses that I feed her. But usually, all the food basically goes everywhere except her mouth. So how can we allow this strife to happen for the purpose of freedom?
Don't worry. We're here to help.
For a child, the purpose of the food is only to feed. It's also for him to learn. It's also for him to explore and fulfill the need of curiosity, fulfill the need of freedom.
Islamic upbringing. Contact us. EnglishRadio@irib.ir.
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is Islamic upbringing. I'm with Brother Mekhtad, and we are talking about the dangers of animation, screens, and video games, and what can parents do about that. Well, Brother, you talked about body image. There's another danger. That's the destruction of self-image by just manifesting us the different forms of body image for the product appeal, which actually does not exist in real life. And I have personally seen, a couple of females who underwent knife, who did disastrous things with their bodies, and they still do not have that body image. They spent the money they could have. They could have at least brought a flat with that money, but they spent it on their body to get that perfect body image. And not only they did not get that, in addition, they also, I was listening to this female who said that she cannot bear children for some 5 years at least, and many other things that were horrible to listen. So you're saying all this comes with the destruction of self-image that is brought by screens.
That's correct. You mentioned, you talked about self-esteem. Self-esteem is such an important concept. Where do we get our self-esteem from? Is when we understand that value that we have of ourselves, the true human perfection. This true human perfection is taught to us by the Quran, is taught to us by the Ahlul Bayt, is taught to us by our intellect of what we can really achieve. But you find that animations today, the movies out there, the video games out there, they teach us the wrong values for the human being on one side, and on the other side, they teach us something that is not achievable for us. Us as the general population, the 99.99%, can't achieve that which is seen on the screen.
Yeah.
Right? And so that is a self-esteem destruction, right? It destroys our understanding of ourselves, of our self-worth, etc. And this brings about all these mental issues and mental health issues and other things. So we need to be very careful of this. You find that another example in the same topic. So you know these games where you have to create an avatar of yourself,
right?
And you build it according to how you see yourself.
Yeah.
Or these games that are very famous between girls as well, young girls, right? Where they've got a face, for example, a whole body of a girl that they have to dress, that they have to put makeup on, that they have to beautify in different ways. And you can do so many different things out there.
All right.
And all of this is centered around this idea that one, physical beauty is perfection. And secondly, that which comes out of it is something that's impossible for you to in real life achieve.
Yeah.
Right? So it destroys the image that you have of yourself as what is real, true human perfection you need to achieve. And this is detrimental for young girls because in terms of their hijab, in terms of their modesty, in terms of their what they want to achieve in life, all is being they're being fed is that what you want to achieve in life is this thin body that you want to get, this kind of hair, this kind of makeup. And then when you see these young girls, when they go towards that in their real life, we kind of wonder what happened, what went wrong.
Yeah.
What went wrong exactly is these avatars that they're building throughout their lives on the
apps.
Virtual world.
Yeah.
Now they're on the real world. They obviously don't want to build this for themselves and just not happening. So this is something that we need to be aware of and concerned about.
Yeah. Well, brother, we'll talk more on that after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned to IRIB English Radio.
يا مقضي الخيرات يا مقضي الخيرات
إمام السجاد عليه السلام said, a child's right is to be kind to him when educating him, forgiving him, covering his mistakes, acting moderately towards him, and helping him.
يا مقضي الخيرات يا
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is Islamic Upbringing. I'm with Brother Miqdad, and we are talking about the dangers of screen. Brother, you talked about avatar as well. Like, there are girls who actually play with these different avatars, and then they are not very confident about themselves. They have a destruction of self-image. What else?
Look at, to give another example in this, is family life, right? You find that very often the family life is portrayed in a particular way in movies and animations. On one side, you have, it always ends in a very beautiful, romantic, beautiful relationship, basically. Portrayed in such a way that is, again, it doesn't show the reality, right? Many people enter marriage with that idea of how they're going to feel that, I don't know, relationship with their husband or their wives.
Yeah.
And in reality, it does not happen. It doesn't happen, right? Or it requires a lot of effort to make it happen, which in the movies, it didn't show us any effort. It just happened, right?
Yeah.
But in real life, it requires effort for that true love, that true bonding to happen. It requires a lot of effort. And obviously it comes with challenges, it comes with difficulties, it comes with misunderstandings, it comes with arguments. It always happens in real life.
Yeah.
And you find that many people then kind of give up. It goes to divorces, it goes to, it didn't match my expectations.
Or at least they think that I have married the wrong person.
Exactly. The issue was what? Was the image that we built of how I want to be was created from a world that was virtual world, that was a completely wrong world. What you can achieve in the virtual world doesn't match what you can in the real life.
Yeah.
And so this kind of break between these two leads us to be to kind of really fail in our true life.
And do you think that also creates a destruction of relationships? Definitely. As well?
I mean, there's definitely a direct correlation between relationships being very weak today and what we are fed with from different aspects of the social media or the cinema or video games, etc.
Yeah. I mean, whatever we are being taught from screen, it can affect our relationship with our parents as well, with our children, with our partners, especially because, as you said, what is being taught, the fantasy kind of things, people keep imagining that this is the reality, but then when they confront the reality, they cannot bear it actually. And this is because of the screens. This is another danger of screens. We talked about the destruction of self-image that is being caused by the screens, and we talked about many other dangers. Well, maybe there are more dangers, or maybe there's more on this topic, and there's also what could be done. We'll talk about that in another session, inshallah. Thank you so much for being with us. Thank you so much, dear listeners. You were listening to IRIB English Radio. Until another session, fi amanillah, and God bless you all.
Do you know what Islam says? It says that life's the greatest test. It says that life's a borrowed space, returned upon rest. A way of life, a way of life, a way of life, a way of life. Islam is a way of life, a complete way. Islam solves all of our problems. Allah leaves no stone unturned. Perfect with no flaws at all are the laws of Allah.
Cultural news, social news, scientific news, artistic news. With delight.
A pair of baby panda twins make their debut appearance at the Chongqing Zoo in southwest China, with visitors flocking to cherish the abundance of cuteness.
Our returnee panda, Ershan, gave birth to the twin brother and sister on July 22nd this year. Currently, the elder brother weighs 4.3 grams and the younger sister weighs 0.6 grams. They're in good condition at present.
The twins' first public appearance was on Saturday, the first day of the week-long National Day holidays. During this week, the pair of giant panda cubs will be on display in the nursery of the panda house of the zoo. Their mother, Ershan, once lived in Canada as a goodwill envoy, but returned to her homeland in 2020. This was Ershan's second delivery of twins. A total of 21 pandas currently live in the Chongqing Zoo, which has been breeding giant pandas since the 1960s. The evolution of robots has been one of the fascinations of recent technological developments. And now the most cutting-edge achievements in that department were presented to the public during a conference in Beijing. The four-day annual World Robot Conference was held both offline and online. It featured three major events, including forum, expo, and competition. On display were more than 500 sets of robots from 130 companies from China and abroad. The conference gave an idea of how the future of humanity will be impacted by the automations. It shows how they can contribute to different sectors, from the restaurant industry and medicine to elderly care, agriculture and manufacturing. An aircraft powered by electricity may still be some way off, but one of its types is already here thanks to a whole range of innovative solutions being developed by aviation firms. American company Aviation Aircraft has debuted its all-electric plane in Washington State. The aircraft, named Alice, took off the runway at Grand County International Airport and flew for 8 minutes. It reached an altitude of 3,500 feet before touching down the ground. According to the company, the aircraft produces no carbon emissions, significantly reduces noise, and costs a fraction to operate compared to usual light jets. The company says it continues to develop and tweak the plane's battery system for an hour flight.
We're targeting a design criteria of 35 minutes for a charge. And so that'll be a charge for the typical route length. It's actually, as I just said, it's actually a design point. So going back to the comment I made earlier about designing batteries for aircraft, it's one of the considerations is how quickly do we want it to charge? How much power do you want to be able to draw from it? So again, we're targeting call it 30 minutes of charge for an hour of flight time, or about 2C if you're...
The company aims to find its way into the market for trips that sit between 150 and 250 miles, a range that features aircraft similar in size to Alice. It will also be for both commuter and cargo flights. For aircraft manufacturers, this paradigm shift is driving fuel savings in flight and on the ground, reducing carbon footprints and NOx emissions while also improving reliability and cutting maintenance costs. Many people of the world are supported almost completely by animals because they live in areas unsuitable for animal husbandry. But these days, even some city dwellers are making their living out of animals, like a Virginia girl. Andrea Diaz quit her job at a restaurant and started to rent her pet alpacas to cheer up steer crazy Americans during the pandemic. Since the launch of her business in 2020, it has expanded from 2 to 14 alpacas. Interestingly, 5 with fluffy pets are regularly making a paid appearance at birthdays, weddings, restaurants, and offices. She charges a starting price of $95 per hour. Diaz says the best part is when there are kids' birthday parties, but even it's really a fun for the adults. She calls alpacas a good exposure because they attract people.
In most of its habitats, the heavily trafficked pangolin faces the biggest threat from humans. But in Taiwan, these gentle creatures are exposed to quite a different danger, feral dogs. In the island, a government policy has led to a surge in the population of feral dogs. The pangolins share most of their roaming area with the stray animals. Plus, these scaly animals cannot move as fast as their attackers. When faced with danger, pangolins curl themselves into a ball shape, but the tail still remains at the most outer side, and that's where the dogs hit them hard.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields, like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
Ecuador's Galapagos National Park is testing different coral replanting methods in an effort to restore fragile underwater ecosystems around local islands.
These corals are important because they are recyclers in the ocean. They convert all the CO2 into oxygen. These corals are important because they are refuges, nurseries, and nursery areas for some fish species.
Coral reef die-offs affect the marine food supply chains and are considered a major climate tipping point. The experimental project is run by park rangers and volunteers in a bay on Santa Cruz Island. Since 2020, they have tested how corals reproduce when they are placed on surfaces like bricks, cement, or tied together and strung on metal frames. They are growing samples in a nursery before adding them to bay. The rangers are reporting improvements with the appearance of new fish near the replanted corals.
A free climber known as the French Spider-Man scales a 48-story skyscraper in Paris to fulfill a goal he set for himself once he reached the age of 60.
A few years back, I promised myself that the day I turn 60, I have to climb the total tower. Because 60 years old marks retirement age in France, and so I thought this would make a very good nod.
Alain Roberts says this building is not as hard as others he has climbed. The French Spider-Man has ascended over 100 of the world's tallest buildings, including the Sydney Tower, the Sears Tower in Chicago, and the Burj Khalifa in Dubai, amongst many others. Roberts says he spent 2 decades climbing mountains before attempting urban climbs. Using his rock climbing experience, he sometimes carries a small bag of climbing chalk to help him grasp the small protrusions of building walls. Many of his climbs can last several hours. The 60-year-old daredevil says he wants to give people the message that age is a number and one can still be active and do sports. A Palestinian farmer has discovered an ancient Byzantine-era mosaic when preparing to plant an olive tree on his plot of land in the Gaza Strip. The farmer and his son have been carefully excavating the area for 3 months since spring. The pair dug out 3 patches, revealing glimpses of an ornate mosaic with intricate images of birds, flora, and tile patterns. Its full size is roughly 23 square meters. The discovery has set off excitement amongst archaeologists. Experts say it is one of the most well-preserved specimens, with precision in graphics and richness in colors. According to archaeologists, the mosaic pavement dates back to the 5th and 7th centuries. Last month, another Palestinian farmer found the rare stone sculpture while working on his land, which dates back to around 2500 BC. They're back as India has revealed or released several of them into the grasslands of Kuna National Park after a 70-year absence in the country. The 8 radio-coloured African cheetahs made the long journey from Namibia. The big cats were released during a ceremony by Prime Minister Narendra Modi that coincided with his birthday. After their acclimation in the national park, they will be released into a 5-hectare spread of land in central India covered by grassland and forest. The felines will share the landscape with other animals and roam with leopards, sloths and striped hyenas. Their reintroduction is the culmination of a 13-year effort to restore the species, which vanished from the country decades ago. Another 12 cheetahs are expected to join the fledgling Indian population next month from South Africa. With more funding, the country hopes to gradually increase the population of cheetahs to around 40. annual cleanup day unites millions of volunteers, governments and organizations to tackle the global waste problem and build a sustainable world. People in several countries joined the efforts again for a waste-free world. Volunteers were seen in mangrove forests in the suburb of Bangkok. They collected more than 1.5 tons of rubbish in just a few hours. Trash picking events were also held in the Philippines and Vietnam. In Hanoi, hundreds, mostly students, armed with metal tongs and sacks, walked along major roads. They said their aim is to raise awareness about protecting the environment. In Manila, people cleaned up the city's beaches that are major tourist attractions. The annual cleanup day has been running for over a decade. From divers collecting marine debris to children picking up trash on beaches have just one goal: make our planet a cleaner place.
Chinese astronauts are celebrating their first ever mid-autumn festival in outer space while sharing their otherworldly experience with people on Earth. The crew had a close-up view of the moon from China's Tiangong space station and their third month in space. On the occasion, the ground crew organized a series of celebrations, including a family reunion for the astronauts. The ground crew also prepared elaborate food packages that had been prepared before the launch of the spacecraft. Typically, the traditional festival is kicked off by the first viewing of the full moon on the 15th day of the 8th month of the lunar calendar. Despite being able to see the moon rise and set 16 times a day, the astronauts say the moon is special on this occasion. Forestry authorities in southwestern China have opened a new canteen for wild Asian elephants in a bid to stop them wandering into villages. The canteen in Yunnan province provides the animals with attractive and nutritious meals while exploring man-animal harmonious coexistence. During these years, the province has explored multiple ways to reduce the encounters between humans and elephants and try to keep the animals away from farmers' crops. There are now approximately 1,400 hectares of dining halls for elephants, with many expanding from 100 to 240, such as corn, rice and sugarcane. They are planted on a large scale and within easy reach of the elephants. The location of such canteens is extremely selective, usually away from villages and major roads, and the chefs are locals.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسان ودعوتك ربي بقرآني.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم
صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم. السلام عليكم respected listeners, brothers and sisters. Welcome to Let's Recite the Quranic Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. Alhamdulillah, today again, I have Fawad Haider and also Brother Ali Nasir here with me. And before we start, salam alaikum and welcome. How are you?
Alhamdulillah.
Fine. Fawad?
Fine.
How are you?
Great.
So, Alhamdulillah. Thank you so much. In the previous session, we were practicing Ayah 22 or 22nd of Surah Al-Baqarah. Inshallah, in this session, we will be working on Ayah 23rd of Surah Al-Baqarah. Before we start, do you want to listen to this ayah?
Yes.
Okay, let's listen to this ayah.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wa in kuntum fi raybin mimma nazzalna ala 'abdina fa'tu bi suratin min mithlihi wad'u shuhada'akum min dunillah
So, alhamdulillah, now we will be practicing by our own, okay? I will be reciting. You should be repeating after me, listen and repeat. Then we'll have an explanation, and also the tajweed will be the same as the previous sessions. All right?
Yes.
Okay. So, ready? One, two, three. Listen and repeat. A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وإن كنتم في ريب مما نزلنا على عبدنا فأتوا بسورة من مثله وادعوا شهداءكم من دون الله إن كنتم صادقين. One of the things, okay, which is very much significant that we should pay attention to is that we understand that Quran is a miracle. Right, the greatest miracle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So, now, if it is not a miracle, suppose it's not a miracle, okay? So, is there anyone to bring something equal to the Quran, something like the Quran? Is there anyone who can do this?
No.
Simply no. Miracles cannot be like compared to anything. So miracles are not like we say like to the those who have magic tricks. God forbid, we cannot compare, because magic tricks are simple, people can learn, but miracles are divine things. Okay, miracles are the source of miracle is Allah Almighty. So Allah Almighty gives the power to the prophets, to the imams, gives the knowledge to them to do miracles, okay? So it cannot be like Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam cannot teach you how to, for example, split the moon, okay? Like, you should do this magic trick, you can split. No, it's impossible. It is a miracle, okay? So miracle are divine things, but magic tricks, okay, they can be taught. So you can go to a teacher, someone who knows magic, you can learn. But it's haram, okay? Make sure it's haram. But look, Quran is a miracle. And there has never been in the history someone who could bring something like the Quran. There were a lot of people who were claiming they are prophets, okay? So when there were people were asking that, what is your miracle? Show us, prove your prophecy, okay? Prove your prophethood or your nubuwa, okay? Nothing. Silence. They weren't able to show people miracle, okay? So because it is just prophets and imams who can do this, nobody else. So one of the signs or the symptoms for a prophet that we can accept him as a prophet is that he has to show us miracle. What? Miracle. Okay? Then the other ways are as well there, that the previous prophet has to inform us of the next prophet. And the next prophet has to inform us of the next or the next coming prophet after him. Okay? So, now, this Quran is a miracle. And all the Muslims believe. Everyone across the world believes. But if there is someone who does not believe this is a miracle, who says, it's a sample book, I can bring like this. So Allah Almighty says what? فأتوا بسورة من مثله وإن كنتم في ريب مما نزلنا على عبدنا. If you are in doubt of the thing or the book that we have sent down upon our prophet, okay, upon our slave Allah, the prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, okay, and if you are in doubt, listen to the translation. And if you are in doubt concerning what we have sent down to our servant, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, okay, then فأتوا بسورة فوات. Bring a surah, a simple surah like this. One ayah like this you should bring. Okay? فأتوا بسورة من مثله. وادعوا شهداءكم. And invoke and invite, ask your helpers besides Allah, okay? That, oh, come on, let's fight Allah Almighty, okay? Allah Almighty has sent down a Quran like this. Let's bring something like this to fight Allah Almighty. Stop it, man. You can never do this. It's Allah Almighty. So, if you're truthful that you can bring something like Quran and you believe like Quran is not a miracle, so bring just one thing, okay? Just one surah like Quran. Okay, Surah Al-Kawthar has 3 verses. Just bring 2 verses. Bring 1 verse like the Quran. Never. In the next ayah, inshallah, we'll study that Allah Almighty says that they will never be able to do this. Okay? Make sure, inshallah, you refer to the Tafasir book, inshallah, and learn more about this.
الذين يذكرون الله قياما وقعودا وعلى جنوبهم.
If you see the Holy Quran in Surah Muzammil, ayat number 20, Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala says, and recite as much as possible from the Quran. As much as possible.
رَبَّنَا مَا خَلَقْتَ هَذَا.
That's why they say one of the beauties of the eloquence of the fasahat and balaghat of the Quran is that whenever you open the Quran, it's as if it speaks to you today very, very clearly.
The Quran is a covenant of God for His creature. It is misaq. It is covenant for His servants. It is necessary for the Muslims to read this covenant and recite 50 words every day.
Now, وَإِن كُنْتُمْ عَلِي نَاصِر نُون ساكين. Then in the next word as well we have نُون ساكين. After this نُون ساكين we have كَاف and تَا. So both examples are the examples of
إِخْفَى.
وَإِن كُنْتُمْ فِي رَيْبٍ رَيْبِمْ تَنْوِين كَسْرَ فَوَات. So تَنْوِين كَسْرَ رَيْبِمْ رَيْبِن تَنْوِين كَسْرَ plus ميم. What rule is applied?
Idgham.
Idgham. With gunna or without gunna?
With
gunna. Raibim mimma. What was the exact word mimma?
Minma.
Minma. Okay. Minma mimma. So nun sakin is there and plus mim, idgham, with gunna.
وَإِن كُنتُمْ فِي رَيْبٍ مِّمَّا نَزَّلْنَا عَلَىٰ عَبْدِنَا
عَبْدِنَا. Okay. عَبْدِنَا. Okay, next one. فَأْتُوا بِسُورَةٍ. Again, سُورَةٍ plus مِن
إِدْغَام.
مِن مِثْلِهِ. Again, إِدْغَام. مِن مِثْلِهِ. فَأْتُوا بِسُورَةٍ مِّن مِثْلِهِ مِّن مِثْلِهِ هِ. Yeah, Iman.
Yes.
If you stop here, مِثْلِهِ, you do not prolong it. مِّن مِثْلِهِ. But the pronunciation of the لَرَثَى must be correctly pronounced. مِّن مِثْلِهِ.
وَادْعُوا شُهَدَاءَكُمْ.
وَادْعُوا دَال قلقلارول right وادعوا شهداءكم شهداء شهداء مد what type of mad is it
مد واجب واجب متصل
مد واجب
متصل
متصل okay شهداءكم كم ميم ساكن plus ميم
yes
ah what was the this rule ميم ساكن plus ميم إدغام مثلين two identical letters شهداءكم من دون الله من إخفاء right من دون الله إخفاء yeah.
question
yes
so here you said it's واجب متصل after شهداء
mm-hmm.
how like شهداء is a different word
شهداء is one word كم is another word so but a همزة and also ألف they are in the word شهداء not in the word كم كم is another word. كم means you. شهداءكم your. So it means the helpers, alright? Now, إن كنتم صادقين. Right?
Yes.
Both are again, إخفاء. وإن كنتم, the last part, إن كنتم, right?
Yes.
Okay. So, thank you so much. Alhamdulillah, we finished this ayah as well. I want you, before we finish, let's listen to this ayah once again.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وإن كنتم في ريب مما نزلنا على عبدنا فأتوا بسورة من مثله وادعوا شهداءكم من دون الله
Thank you so much. I hope you've learned something from this ayah and also the Tajweed rules. Make sure you practice, brothers and sisters, dear listeners. And also make sure you refer to the Tafasir book, inshallah, and learn more about these verses, the explanations. Thank you so much. See you, inshallah, in the next session. I really recommend you stay with us. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammad wa alihi at-tahirin.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil farajahum.
Let's recite the Quran. A joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نرقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن
IRIB English Radio.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.